all this past week, we've been having discussions, and the story has changed somewhat, and more information has come out. Initially, it was this just terrible tragedy, and they were looking at, is there something wrong with the plane? Now we find, no, that wasn't the case. It looks like the co-pilot who took over the flight and flew into the Alps had mental illness, had been treated for mental illness 6 years ago, even when he was going through to become a pilot. Yeah. He had to take time off. He'd had burnout and a breakdown, so we are hearing. And now, just recently, he had broken up with his girlfriend. That was another stressor. And here, I don't know about you, but it's when I heard that he had a note excusing him from flying the very day that he crashed the plane because he wasn't in a condition to fly.
Well, obviously, his doctors felt he shouldn't have been in control of any aircraft.
Exactly.
But he ripped up that note, went to work, and subsequently ended up murdering 150 people.
Mm-hmm. And now we hear that he had said to his girlfriend he was going to do something spectacular. This always seems like you hear more and more of these kinds of things that are tip-offs in a way, or you put it all together
in
hindsight. Yeah. Now, would anything, who knows, maybe he was the kind of guy who would say those sorts of things and then not do anything. So she didn't go any further. But I have to think she's going to be harboring an immense amount of guilt over this.
Wouldn't she have known he was suffering from depression? He makes
Probably.
An announcement like this, I'm going to do something spectacular that's going to get the attention of the world.
Yeah.
You'd be calling somebody, wouldn't you?
Joining us now is psychologist and media consultant Dr. Oren Amate of DocAmate.com. Hello there.
Good morning.
Morning.
All of these questions that we are talking about, you know, do we look to people who surround individuals that have depression, and do we say, well, you should have known there was something going on there, you should have called somebody? How much responsibility is there on the part of the people who love these people, who surround them,
those close,
to know?
You know, it's so difficult, because anytime someone does something like this, whether it's a mass tragedy like this or a solo tragedy, a single suicide, people are asking the question that you've just asked, were there signs? Should I have known? And in hindsight, it's usually easier to see. But the brains aren't wired to see people and assume, the worst. We expect people to be quote unquote normal. We expect them. We project our own experiences onto others. So if somebody themselves happens to be that kind of person or has that mindset, they might pick up on the clues. But most people will not.
So if it's beyond anything that you might do,
You don't want to think anyone else would.
You just assume they're not going to do it because that would be, quote, crazy.
Yeah, exactly. We don't usually expect that. That's why, for example, I don't want to switch gears too much, but people like narcissists and psychopaths who do the craziest things, in the sense of most normal people wouldn't do such dangerous, horrible things, people just, they tend not to see it. They tend to process it differently because they don't expect it. It's hard to wrap their heads around
it.
All right, this might be a tough question for you, but if you had a patient who, there were signs and you were giving notes saying you should be able to take the day off from a position like flying, or a police officer or somebody that's entrusted with, the safety of so many people, would you go further than that, or is there such privacy that you don't tell their employer that there's something really wrong with this person?
That's a really tricky question. That comes up in amongst the psychologists in the listserv that I'm part of all the time. It's, what is our duty to report? Because if we know in America, there's a law, the Tarasov, based on Tarasov case, where if we know someone is in imminent danger to themselves or to others, they have a duty to report in the United States. That's by law.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, we don't have that law, but we have that guidance. It says, ethically, we are obliged to think about the well-being of the individual and of the people around them. So if someone is in that case, it's a judgment call. And we have to, act with the best discretion, because if we make the wrong mistake, if I have somebody who's very vulnerable and they say something and I jump the gun, and I've seen this happen where someone just says something offhand and the psychologist has jumped the gun, reported them, now they've totally ruined their relationship with them. They've lost somebody who might have, been able to get help, and they will never trust them or probably anybody else in a helping position again. So it's a really tough call. I don't envy, I've been in this position myself. It's very difficult. I don't envy anybody in that situation.
Well, obviously, confidentiality is very important. But what about, in this case, obviously, this man's doctor knew he was having a problem. Maybe he should have been obligated to share that information with the company doctor, German wing doctor.
Now, I don't know what the rules of, you know, in the country as far as sharing healthcare information. But if the doctor, if the doctor said, look, you aren't able to fly, and he said, I am going to fly, then the doctor most likely would have contacted them. If he said, you're not to fly, and he says, yes, I get it, I am not going to fly, then the doctor is, you know, is basing his judgment on the client's judgment and hoping that they'll do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think hoping in a case like this is really good enough, do you?
See, judgment, that's an issue, isn't it? Is your judgment clouded when you are in a situation where you are depressed?
Yeah, well, it depends on how depressed. When you are severely depressed, 20% of people with major depression will have a psychotic episode. They're going to lose touch with reality. So if someone is that depressed and they're talking in a way that makes a person question how tight their grip on reality is, and you know they don't give any clear indication that they get it, then the doctor, you know, should have perhaps taken the next step and contacted authorities. Well, before contacting authorities, maybe contacting a family member, making sure there's a plan of care, making sure they're supported by people or surrounded by people who won't let them do these kinds of things. So I would take the least intrusive step first, and if you don't get the sense that that's going to be enough, then they may have had to go, you know, to more drastic measures, like calling the company.
Mm-hmm. Psychologist and media consultant Dr. Oren Amate of DocAmate.com is on the line with us, and we're talking about this terrible tragedy where the co-pilot took over, the plane flew it into the mountain and took all of these people with him. And one of the things that they did was, you know, they said that they could hear these people screaming as this plane is going closer and closer, and they know what's happening because the pilot is banging on the door trying to get in there, and it just gave you this feeling of total helplessness. And I can't imagine what it's like for the families to know this.
Yeah, I know, and that's, you know, when we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, we're loosening the definitions a bit where, just hearing about this kind of stories, imagining it happening to a loved one, there's a possibility that some people could, you know, just because of the horror that their loved one went through, they could vicariously suffer some kind of, you know, either full-on post-traumatic stress or something very similar to it. If it was just an immediate crash, no one knew anything, that's fine, but as you just said, they know the details. They you know, some people are going to be playing that moment in their head, even though it wasn't them, you know, vicariously. So it's a tragedy all around, and I hope that there are supports for the, you know, the loved ones of these people who lost their lives in such a horrible way.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but when I heard this, I felt I really don't have to know this, okay? We can assume people were aware of what was about to happen. We can assume they may have been screaming, crying. Did we have to be told that, yes, you can hear that on the tape? I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah, it's, but it's sensational. You know, maybe that's, I hope that's not what
motivated. Well, that's true.
You know, but again, it's the more people hear about it, I'm hoping that the people who hear about it are able to compartmentalize to some degree, just kind of shut out, not get overwhelmed by just, you know, again, reliving these people's night, you know, the worst experience in their life.
There has been discussion about just coming back to occupations of people who are entrusted with the safety of so many people. If going through, like when you look back at this particular guy, he had to take time off during training because of burnout and stress and so on. You know, is that someone that you would say, no, you just are not cut out for this? Even if you get him through that and has he been cured? Do you start denying occupations to people who have mental health issues? If you start doing that, you're probably going to have people not saying that they're having a problem, and thus they're not treated anyway, right?
Right, and that's such a tricky line, because we don't want to stigmatize against people who have mental health issues, and we don't want someone to feel that they can't be honest about it and to punish them for being honest about it or for having certain vulnerabilities. But on the other hand, if we see that these same issues keep repeating themselves and put not only that person but other people's lives at risk, you know, how do we ensure the public, the safety of the public? It's a tight, you know, it's a very difficult line to walk, and I hope whoever is in charge of policy, make sure that they truly make any decisions with compassion, not a knee-jerk reaction, because we don't want people not feeling that they can disclose or, most importantly, seek out help when they need it.
But if you knew that your pilot was fine as long as he was on his medication, would you get on the plane?
If I knew he was on his medication and if I knew everything seemed to be okay, then I would. If I knew somebody had a, you know, a very questionable past, and this might not just be depression. I mean, I don't know his personality. Someone who feels that I'm going to, you know, not just take up my own life, but the lives of, you know, totally innocent people. You know, if I knew all that, that might be a different story. You know, but just because if someone has a certain... It's a tough call. I mean, it really is, because theoretically I can speak one way, but in reality, would I want my loved ones being on a plane with somebody who may be unstable? It's, you know, it's... There's two different minds.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
No,
yeah.
I hear you. I thank you so much for being so open with all of these questions, Dr. Amitai. Great chatting with you today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doc.
That's Doc Oren Amitai, psychologist, media consultant. You can check him out at docamitai.com.